This morning we're continuing our sermon series on the book of Romans. I'm preaching God's word from Romans chapter 11. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word, fill us with your spirit so that we may receive your mercy and be merciful ourselves. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In today's reading from Romans, we hear these words of St. Paul. I am speaking to you, Gentiles. St. Paul, of course, was ethnically Jewish, and many of the early Christians were also ethnically Jewish, including the Christians at Rome. If you know about the history of the Jews in Rome in the first century, then you'll know it's quite interesting. At one time they were expelled from Rome, they came back. We know that the Christian community there, though, there was a mixed community, ethnically, Jews and Gentiles. In today's reading from Romans 11, we have St. Paul, the ethnic Jew, the Christian man, speaking specifically to Gentiles in the community. Now, I dare say most, perhaps all of us here, are ethnically Gentiles. Maybe we have some Jewish blood, I dare say that's probably the case, but we are, in our ethnicity, not Jews, but Gentiles. So we have a word specially addressed to us today, God's word to us about his plans for his people, the Jews. Now you could say, what's the relevance of that? Do we need to hear such a word? Well, the great thing is, when we hear this message, the gospel comes through loud and clear. Because in hearing what God's plans are for the Jewish people, we ourselves will be confirmed in our understanding that God keeps his promises. That when God gives a promise, he doesn't take it back. That will also apply to us. We'll also hear how God's will is not to plan destruction for people, but to plan salvation, to show them his mercy. In fact, we will hear that God wills to show mercy for all. And it's in receiving God's mercy that we ourselves are transformed to be merciful people. So as we get into today's reading, let's think of all, first of all, of the flow, what's been happening up to this point. Because in Romans chapters 9 to 11, St. Paul is dealing with God's people, the Jews, and his plans for them. In Romans 9, we heard these words, upholding the fact that God has chosen his people and given real gifts through them. There St. Paul wrote, they are the Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. St. Paul here is drawing attention to the particularity of the Jewish people, reminding us Gentiles of the great gifts that he gave them in calling them. Gifts not just for the Jewish people alone, but gifts through them for the whole world. The greatest gift, of course, being the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul wants us to think about this, to pay attention and to be thankful. To understand that when God gives gifts, they are real gifts, and he doesn't take them back. So in Romans chapter 9, there's been a message about God really choosing the Jewish people. This is something that Gentiles need to take seriously and reflect on. But then in Romans chapter 10, St. Paul does talk about the Jewish people stumbling. Listen to what he writes there. Gentiles, that's us, who did not strive for righteousness, have attained it. That is, righteousness through faith. Here we are, people who are ethnically Gentile. We worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. None of our ethnic ancestors worshipped in this way. Our ancestors sometime had the gospel preached to them, many of us here, and we are still receiving the benefits of their coming to faith. And it's a coming into God's family based simply on trust. Not what we've done, but what God's done for us in Christ. We've heard this message
and been brought into God's family through it. But Israel, St. Paul writes, who did strive for the righteousness that is based on the law, did not succeed in fulfilling that law. Why not? Because they did not strive for it on the basis of faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled, St. Paul writes. St. Paul, himself an ethnic Jew, proclaimed the gospel, and it was rejected by many, perhaps even at his time, by most of his fellow ethnic Jews. And he says that in this rejection, in wanting to hold on to a works-based righteousness, they have stumbled. Now here's a temptation for us who are Gentiles. We could think to ourselves, well, the Jews stumbled. Good riddance to bad rubbish. Obviously God's given up on them because they are so benighted in their works righteousness, and God's now transferred his affections to us, the Gentiles. This way of thinking can, of course, stoke up arrogance and even hatred towards the Jews. And we've experienced this also in our world, even in the last century. People thinking about the Jews in this sort of way, leading to works of hatred, violence, and even murder. But St. Paul does not take it in this direction at all. Rather than giving a message which would stoke up hatred or arrogance from Gentiles toward Jews, he brings us a message, us Gentiles a message, to free us to think differently. This is what he says in today's reading. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself, St. Paul writes, am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people, whom he foreknew. For a start, St. Paul there says, there is the example of me. Has God rejected me? No. I have been brought into the new life of faith in Christ Jesus, and I am ethnically Jewish. So it's not possible for Gentiles to say point blank that God has rejected his people, the Jews. He hasn't. The example of St. Paul alone is enough to draw the correct conclusion that God has not gone back on his people, but still shows love for them. But St. Paul goes further. Now I'm speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I glorify my ministry in order to make my own people jealous and thus save some of them. I'll read that again, and then I'll give it an analogy that may help us understand what St. Paul is talking about. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I glorify my ministry in order to make my own people jealous and thus save some of them. Jealousy, to make them jealous. So Paul proclaimed, he's saying, the gospel to the Gentiles. He gloried in it, upheld it, showed how good it was. And one of his ends, at least, was to make his own people, his ethnic compatriots, the Jewish people, those whom he loved, jealous. Now, the analogy here I'll use is the analogy of a holiday house. There are different analogies that could work. See if this works for you. Imagine in your family there is a holiday house. It belongs to your wider family and you have full rights to use it. And imagine then a holiday is coming up, a break from work, and the holiday house is free to use, and you're invited to make full use of the holiday house. Yes, after all, it's yours. But you think to yourself, nah, I think I'll work through this holiday. I'm going to continue working. I'm not going to make use of the holiday house. But then as you're working away, you can hear from the holiday house a great party. And you realise that all these people have been invited. It's a really interesting people. And there have been great food and great wine, great celebration and dancing. And you think, that's my house. I could be there. Maybe I ought to be there. Maybe I should stop working, put the shovel down, freshen up, and go in and join the party. I think that image can be helpful in talking about what St. Paul's writing. The Gentiles are now invited into the house built by God, built for his people, the Jews. But now the Gentiles are invited in and are celebrating the party that God is throwing. at experiencing all the good gifts of God in his household. St. Paul would like the Jewish people, it's their house, those who have not yet come in, to look on and think in jealousy, that's my house. Others are using it. Maybe I should be there as well. Now, all analogies break down. And if you can think of a better one, go for it. But that's what I'm presenting today. And I think it is helpful. And I think it's picking up on imagery that you get from the Gospels, in fact. Okay, this is where St. Paul is at. He wants his people to come in. He wants them even to come in because they're jealous, recognizing that the promises he's proclaiming to the Gentiles are promises made, first of all, to the Jewish people. Their promises. And he goes on to say this. For if their rejection, that is the Jews' rejection, is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Their rejection, St. Paul writes, being for the reconciliation of the world. Think about St. Paul when he proclaimed the gospel. If you read the book of Acts, you'll see this. He first of all went to the synagogue. Only after he was rejected from the synagogue did he go and preach to the Gentiles. So his rejection by the Jewish people in the synagogue led to Gentiles coming to faith. If that's what happens when his Jewish compatriots have rejected the gospel, think of the blessings that God will bring when they receive it. That's the sort of argument Paul is making here. If God brings great things, even out of the rejection of his people, how much greater things will he bring when they receive the gospel? We can look forward, St. Paul writes, about what God will do through the proclamation of the gospel. He says this, as regards the gospel, they, the Jewish people, are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their ancestors. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. God hasn't gone back on his promises to the Jews. The gifts and the calling are irrevocable. We can trust that as Christian people, when we meet Jews, that God hasn't gone back on his promises for them. He's upholding them. We can also understand that that means that God will not go back on his promises to us. Here's an analogy. It may or may not work. See how it goes. Many people are baptized, and when people are baptized, God makes an irrevocable promise to them. They have the gift of adoption. Does everyone make use of that gift? Many people who have that gift simply don't make use of it. It's like they are the prodigal son. They leave the household, they go away and they feed the pigs. Does that mean they stop being children of the household? Does it mean that the door is now closed to them? Does it now mean that they'll never be welcomed back? By no means. We know what sort of father we have. We know what sort of promises he makes. That's how it is for us as baptized people. It's also God's attitude to his own people, the Jews. So think about it in terms of Christian baptism. The door's not shut, it's open. God throws a party when people come back from the dead, when they are found again. This is also God's attitude to his people, the Jews. This is how St. Paul closes in today's reading. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they now have been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. We all need to understand at a deep spiritual level that when it comes to God, we are beggars. Whatever our ethnic background is, when we come into the presence of God, we have nothing to offer, but only open hands to receive. And the progress of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, and what's happened as it's been preached, has made this clearer and clearer. God has imprisoned all in disobedience. We are all naturally in a state of not trusting God, so that God may show clear, gracious, beautiful mercy to all in Christ Jesus. Well, dear Christian people, God has made irrevocable promises to you. In Christ Jesus and through your baptism into him, you can know that you have a heavenly Father who loves you, who will not reject you. The door is always open, and here we are indeed in the household of God. It's here we learn who God is and how merciful He is. And in learning God's mercy ourselves, we are free to be merciful to others, to understand that God has made promises to them too, that He does not go back on them. And today, as Gentiles, we think especially of God's people, the Jews. He's made promises to them. He's not going to go back on them. This means we can be gracious in our dealings, not arrogant, but humble, not hateful, but full of the love that God has shown us in Christ Jesus, the one born of Mary, born a Jew. Let's stand. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.